News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Over in the newsroom, Matt Cotrillo is there. He's taking good care of us. He says the school delays. We just have Millville and Keystone Central School Districts on two-hour delays. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, so we appreciate all of his hard work. In the studio with us now, we're meeting for the first time, Dr. David Parker. He's a Geisinger bariatric surgeon. Welcome aboard, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I do appreciate you coming in. You know, I probably have 1,000 questions. I'm always curious about when it's appropriate to have bariatric surgery. My BMI is up, so, you know, I think diet and weight loss is something I could probably, stand a bone up on a little bit. So what are the indicators for bariatric surgery?
So there's a couple of different indicators. One is just weight. So if someone has a BMI above 40, which is roughly about 100 pounds above what their weight should be, that's usually just an indication in its own. People who are at a little bit lower weight than that can still be considered for bariatric surgery if they have some medical conditions such as diabetes, sleep apnea, high cholesterol, hypertension, which are all affected by obesity. And curing the obesity will oftentimes cure those medical illnesses as well. We even go as far now to operate on people who are between a BMI of 30 to 35 who are really poorly controlled diabetics. What we found is bariatric surgery is really one of the best, really the only hope of curing their diabetes really is bariatric surgery.
All right, so those are some ways to indicate that you might be bariatric surgery might be a good idea. Do people volunteer for this? How do I get to consult with Dr. Parker?
Well, most of our patients come from the Geisinger Nutrition and Weight Management. So they're a group of physicians, dietitians, and nutritionists who work with people both that are just trying to lose weight and people that will eventually have bariatric surgery. So usually requires a referral from their family practice physician or primary care doctor to the GI Nutrition and Weight Management.
So when they get to you, have they already, bariatric's already a done deal? I know there's other surgical topics that come up sometimes.
So, correct. Usually by the time they come to see us, they've gone through that program, and most of those people have kind of already decided they're going to have bariatric surgery. There are, a large group of patients that are just interested in a physician to help them lose weight, and those patients continue along with the GI Nutrition and Weight Management.
And what is bariatric surgery?
So bariatric surgery really is a group of surgeries that are aimed at weight loss and improvement of obesity-related problems. Probably the most commonly performed procedure nowadays is something called the sleeve gastrectomy. Historically, the most common surgery is something called the gastric bypass, and those are probably the two most well-known surgeries. There's some other surgeries, such as the biliopancreatic diversion with duodenal switch, which is really aimed towards people who have either a lot of weight to lose or have fairly severe diabetes.
All right, gastric bypass, you're bypassing something like the portion of the stomach, I believe?
So the bypass is actually we make a small pouch, so we staple off the very top part of the stomach to create essentially a fairly small stomach, and then we bypass the remainder of that stomach and the first portion of the small intestine.
All right, so that's what bypass is. What was that other first option, more common nowadays?
The sleeve gastrectomy, which is probably the more common option, and that's essentially just where we remove roughly about 80% of the stomach. And so we make the stomach essentially into a long tube, and that does significantly restrict how much food you can eat. And we also think it has some effect on the body's metabolism and hunger.
So you're not as hungry
Correct.
Okay, and then you fill, well, you'd be full right away, I guess, if you do eat a meal, right?
Correct.
So you're going to eat a smaller meal. What, for somebody that had that surgery, what's the size of a meal?
So meals, if you think of like a small saucer, that's essentially what your meal is going to fit on.
Okay, instead of a big plate with overflow.
Correct.
With
instead
fries falling off the side. Okay. All right, so those are some of the types of surgeries. Let's say we're not going to get gastric bypass if you're doing the other one more commonly now. How do we get ready for that? What do the weeks and months entail prior?
So it's usually about a six-month process, and that's you'll work along with the nutritionist to start working on your diet in advance, because it's really a lifelong change. So they'll help you start working on making those changes. We also have people meet with an exercise physiologist to go over some exercises that they'll be able to do. So if they're limited in what they can do exercise-wise, we can find other types of exercises they can do. In addition, we'll have any pre-existing medical problems. We'll work on those to get those optimized prior to surgery. And usually that all entails about a six-month process. And then once you get through that portion, then we start talking about types of surgeries and options in terms of surgeries.
And you have to lose weight during this early period?
We generally do try to recommend losing around 10% of the excess weight.
Okay, so you got to lose, for some folks that's going to be 50 pounds they're going to have to lose prior to the surgery.
Yeah, usually it's not quite as much as 50 pounds, but we do try to get them to lose around that 10%, which is usually, 20, 30 pounds.
Okay, so that's kind of a doable number for folks. All right, so but they're getting counseling. Are there mentors along the way? Sort of explain what their interaction is also.
Well, so one of the other things we have everybody do is they will go to support group meetings. And in those support group meetings, there's people that are various stages. So people that are just about to have surgery and people who have just recently had surgery. And then some people who are years out from their surgery. And so certainly there are people there that they can kind of pair with and get advice.
Now, do you ever have somebody that goes through that early counseling and does improves their diet, drops a few pounds, and then says, hey, guess what? I could stay on this cycle and probably lose more. Let's skip the surgery for now?
We do occasionally see that. And what we found medically is about 5% of people who are just trying to lose weight on their own without assistance from a physician will long-term be successful. And this is when we're talking people who are around a BMI of 40 or so. About 10% of people with the aid of a physician will be able to have significant weight loss and maintain that. But I think when you're starting out at a BMI of around 35 to 40, it's fairly difficult to maintain that weight loss.
Okay, so it looks like the surgery might be the option for them. Can I reverse bariatric surgery if you're reducing the size of the stomach?
So there, what we generally say is these are not reversible procedures. Technically, can it be done? It can, for instance, for the bypass. We generally consider that only in rare cases.
All right. Can a person adapt and stay obese with a smaller stomach?
So we do see that about 15% of people, when we look long term, will be what we consider weight loss failures, meaning they didn't lose and keep off as much weight as what we would have anticipated.
I think if I eat one potato chip every minute, I could probably keep my weight on.
Yeah, certainly obesity is one of those what we consider lifelong diseases. And bariatric surgery is probably the most successful at treating that, but there are people who do fail.
All right, so the pros of the surgery, of course, you could cure your diabetes, right? That would be the end of that.
Correct.
If your weight were way down. What are the downsides? What's the cons? If those are the pros, what are the cons?
So, I mean, with any surgery, there certainly are some risks. What we've said, there's been fairly, some major advances just in surgery and how we take care of patients. And what we generally say now is the risk of bariatric surgery is somewhat similar to the risk of, let's say, having your gallbladder taken out. The risk, I think, would be one downside. I think the second downside is just recovery, and really recovery from a physical standpoint. So I think people nowadays recover actually pretty remarkably well from pain and physical standpoint. But I think getting used to that diet can be at least tough initially.
When can I go back to work?
Well, it kind of just depends on what your work is. What we generally tell people is plan to take 2 to 4 weeks off. So if you have mostly light work, desk work, you could go back certainly probably at 2 weeks. If you have more of a physical job, then you're maybe looking at about 4 weeks.
Oh, okay. If you work at home, some people are able to work at home. It's pretty not ultra desk oriented, but that's a lot of computer work. That's a little bit sooner, right?
Correct. We do see a fairly significant number of people go back to work at about a week, especially if they're working from home or even if they're going to an office and have more of a desk job.
All right. Well, we're talking a fascinating interview. Anyway, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. David Parker is here from Geisinger. He's a bariatric surgeon. We're going to talk about this surgery and some of the outcomes. And I'm just going to ask every question that pops into my head when we come back at 7:40. We'll continue the interview. And we're going to get some more preparation questions out of the way and then sort of post-surgery questions, too, including one of my buddies had it. He lost some of his hair. And it didn't grow back. At least not yet, anyway. So I think that might be not a complication, but, sort of one of the outcomes. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, talking bariatric surgery here on WKOK.
Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We're doing a frequently asked questions, I think anyway, or at least occasionally asked questions, maybe even a question you've never been asked, with Dr. David Parker, Geisinger Bariatric Surgery. And we thank Joe Stender III, really helped us set this up. He gets producer credits today. He's one of the Geisinger's outreach and education folks, so we really appreciate his help. Well, I asked you the question off mic. I'll put it on mic. My BMI is probably like 31 or something in that range. I'm certainly chubby, but I'm not morbidly obese or anything. What if I wanted gastric bypass surgery or the other bariatric surgery?
So there definitely are pretty stringent criteria, and those criteria are really set by the National Institute of Health, actually back in the 90s. And so really BMI of 40, if you're going to remember a BMI, is kind of the cutoff of if you have no other medical problems. A BMI of 40, if you're above that, generally we'll say bariatric surgery is indicated, just because then you're kind of in the category of what we consider morbid obesity. If you're a BMI under 40, between 35 to 40, again, if you have obesity-related medical problems, so generally we consider like sleep apnea, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, fatty liver disease, generally we'll consider that an indication for bariatric surgery. And then we also have to contend with what the insurance companies will pay for. And so most insurance companies will, again, say BMI of 40 qualifies you. If you're between a BMI of 35 to 40, if you have severe obesity-related medical problems, or again, there's a small group of patients who will be between 31 to 35 who have poorly controlled diabetes who may be candidates.
Okay, so I'm just not really there then. I don't have it. You can't volunteer for this surgery. It's not like cosmetic surgery where you can say, okay, I would like to have this procedure, darn it.
Yeah, generally, you know, even if you wanted to pay out of pocket, usually you have to meet those certain criteria.
Got to do that. Okay, it's not for everybody then. All right, so in our early segment, our first 10-minute segment, we talked about what are the indications for bariatric surgery. You reiterated some of those, the counseling and the support group, and the pros and the cons. What are some of the complications? What happens afterward for a few of the patients?
So, you know, there's a couple of things that we talk about. Probably one of the biggest things that we've recognized, you know, looking at patients who are having bariatric surgery really across the country, probably the most concerned about would be blood clots, in particular something called a pulmonary embolism, which is where a blood clot in your legs kind of breaks up and travels to your lungs. So we're pretty aggressive about looking at people and trying to figure out what their risk is and then putting them on blood thinners around the time of surgery to try to mitigate that or decrease that risk.
Why do they develop? Why does that become a dilemma?
Well, there's a couple things that put you at a little bit higher risk. One of them is just, you know, the people who are having bariatric surgery or in the category of obesity, which is one risk factor. The second would be surgery is a risk factor for developing blood clots. And in particular, surgeries that last over, a half hour, which bariatric surgery is generally, you know, we think of about a 1 to 2 hour procedure.
And this is a laparoscopic procedure?
We do all these, or most of them are laparoscopic, and we do do some robotic surgery for some of the bariatric surgeries.
But still a 2 to 4 week period till you're recovered?
Generally we say about a 2 to 4 week. You know, 4 weeks is if you're going and doing really physical manual labor. Most people can get back at probably about 2 weeks if you're, you know, not required to do, in particular, heavy lifting.
Okay, so then folks can get back to that. But if you have a less, like the job here, I could come back in 2 weeks, I would think. How about that? We'll just say that. But you can cure diabetes with these. What about some folks who have some cardiac dilemmas prior to the surgery? Can you cure the cardiac problem, you know, COPD or things like that?
So one of the things that, again, during that 6-month process is we'll look at people who have cardiac problems or lung problems, and we'll make sure those are optimized prior to surgery. What bariatric surgery will do is it will modify some of those risk factors. So someone who has hypertension, it should improve their hypertension, or if they have high cholesterol, it should improve their high cholesterol, as well as improving their diabetes. So you're really modifying the risk factors that are risk factors for cardiac disease.
Okay, so that's something to watch out for. Hair loss?
So hair loss is what we generally say is most people after bariatric surgery will have some hair thinning. Generally between, 3 months after, up to maybe 9 months after surgery. Most people, everybody's always worried about going bald. Most people won't go bald, but they will have some significant thinning. Now, people who are losing hair prior to surgery, then that may occur. They may have thinning to the point where they're bald, and they may not regrow that.
I see. Okay. And but that's does that affect women too?
Affects both women and men. Really weight loss in general. So if you essentially went on a radical diet and were able to keep that and lost a significant amount of weight, the same would happen just with losing weight.
Right. My future diet after the surgery, the same as before, just less, or what?
So there's actually different stages of the diet. So one of the things we spend a significant amount of time beforehand is going over the different stages that you'll be on. And so really the first stage is kind of what you start on while you're in the hospital. And so that's essentially just liquids, of course, all sugar-free liquids. And then people will go home and they'll start advancing to what we call the stage two, and that's essentially liquids with protein supplement, protein shakes to supplement their diet. And then we'll start going up to add additional things like eggs or yogurt. And generally we focus on the high protein, low carbohydrate things to begin with.
If a woman is pregnant, you cannot do this surgery.
No, we wouldn't do it if a female is pregnant. And so the important things are, we'd have to wait for the pregnancy. Once she delivers, then probably start the program then. So you're probably looking at a period of time after pregnancy. And then one of the important things also is you can't become pregnant right after surgery. And we generally say about a year to a year and a half after surgery.
All right. And do you continue with the follow-up counseling and mentoring and support groups?
Correct. So we consider a lifelong process. So we'll continue to follow bariatric surgery patients really indefinitely. So they'll continue to see the surgeon up to usually about a year after surgery, just to kind of ensure that we're kind of happy how things are progressing. And then they'll continue to follow in our GI nutrition and weight management program really indefinitely.
Okay, so this is irreversible, for the most part anyway.
For the most part.
And permanent life's change. So this person has a different diet and everything forever. And maybe even a support group forever. That's how this goes.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's the price you pay, I guess, if you cure your diabetes and you drop the weight. What about cosmetic surgery for, you get some skin that's not as tight as it used to be?
So, there are a fairly significant number of people that will get cosmetic surgery afterwards. Usually, what that requires, at least, for insurance to cover that, is you have excess skin enough that it's causing irritation, requiring medical treatment. So a fairly significant number of patients who have bariatric surgery will qualify for some cosmetic surgery afterwards.
Right. I know Geisinger has some programs where you have a guarantee of certain outcomes. Does bariatric surgery come with one of the guarantees? I forget the name of this. Maybe there's different names for some of the different programs for... Joe Stender is here, good producer.
I would leave it up to Joe. I'm not sure about that.
No, I don't. Okay, so it's certainly not top of the mind is one that would come with a guarantee. Okay, additional comments. What haven't I asked? Are there anything you'd like to talk about that nobody ever asked you?
I think probably the thing that I would stress the most is probably the most frequent thing that we hear, we hear time and time again, our patients just say that, this is something they wish they would have done probably a decade earlier. And I think the significant impact on diabetes is something that I think we don't really quite stress enough in terms of, this is really, for some patients, can be curative for their diabetes. So I think, really medical treatment for diabetes, there's really nothing that compares.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. David Parker, thank you so much. I surely can think of more questions, but we're out of time. But thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
Very much appreciated. I mentioned Joe Stender III, off-mic, our producer today. So we are gets Geisinger internal producer credits today. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass. Thank you so much, Dr. David Parker, Geisinger bariatric surgeon.